going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There is no depth chart right now. If you want to play, you got to go earn it. If you want a role, you got to go earn it. They know that. So we were very straightforward and honest with them when they came into the building. I think all we did this weekend was we might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials for certain people in the building. So that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That's where you bring out the best, not only in your team, but in each individual. So what I'm going to be curious to see is what guys look like when the ball's not in their hands on offense, okay? Yeah, you're right. We have a lot of weapons. And so how are you going to run your route when you might not be number one in the progression, okay? How are you going to block your teammate when he has the ball? Because if you do those things right, then as a coaching staff, we're going to want to get you the ball a little bit more.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Ben Johnson. And he's talking about how he will be gauging and measuring all of his offensive weapons by the way in which, you know, if you don't block, you don't get the rock.
Okay,
and,
Dustin.
And we talked about what that – oh, he said it. And we're talking – no,
Antoine Randall, that's who said that.
Yeah,
no block, no rock?
No block, no rock. Antoine Randall, the first time we got – that was – I'm telling you, that I guarantee he's wearing that T-shirt underneath his, like, Bears provided – stuff.
But, you know, we talked about who's that message for, and I would argue it's for everyone, including Luther Burden III, including, but not limited to, the tight end, Colston Loveland. I don't think he's the guy the message would be for necessarily.
No, he's coming. But he's coming for somebody's targets. He's coming for somebody's job. Well, he's coming to be the impact player.
Yeah, he's going to give.
He's the breakout guy.
He's going to get a lot of stuff.
He's the guy that you want to emerge as that guy. I think you.
He's the
you drafted
buster.
Him 10th overall.
He's going to be.
He's the seam buster.
Thank you.
He is the big play guy in the red zone. He is your second option in the passing game.
He's the seamstress for the band.
Yes.
What?
He is stitching all the pockets. Now we're mixing our metaphors and references. But nonetheless, when Colston Loveland arrives, when he's healthy for training camp, he is your second option in the passing game. And it wouldn't surprise me if the numbers reflect that, if the targets reflect that. You've got to take advantage of what you're – where you have an advantage.
There's a couple of stories we have to get to out of the draft.
Oh,
not the least, not a happy story, but Shedeur Sanders ended up falling to 144 in the draft. He was taken at that point by a trade, a move up, but not before he had gotten a crank phone call, and he got a call telling him that he was going to be selected. And, you know, it was a bad moment. Everybody saw it. and the NFL did an investigation into it. And by the way, I believe he wasn't the only guy to get a crank phone call.
No, he wasn't. Yeah.
There was another one that went to Tyler Warren. He got a crank phone call. There might have been a couple
several
of
other
them.
Prospects yes. came forward and got prank phone calls.
Yes.
And they were less publicized than Shedeur Sanders. I think what yes. makes the Shedeur Sanders story stand out for a couple reasons. One, he is who he is.
Yes.
And everything's a little bit louder with the Sanders family just because of Deion's celebrity, but also because of who the culprit was, and that is Jax Ulbrich, the son of the Falcons' new defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. So Jax, the son of Jeff, saw an open iPad, saw access to Shedeur Sanders' phone number,
yeah.
wrote it down, and then, copied it, and then executed the hoax and also the prank phone call, which he then videotaped and publicized.
Yeah, he had his buddies what? In the room.
Like, how dumb like must you be?
Well, you know, I'm surprised that they just sort of issued an apology from Atlanta without, like, suspending his old man for a week, just saying he's not going to be with us for the first start of some camp or something. I just
okay. So let's restate that, because I don't disagree with you. So Jeff Ulbrich has his iPad. Let's envision this. This is probably at their residence, and the son is by, and the iPad is open, and then the access is to the information, proprietary information, right?
From the NFL,
from the Falcons.
All the numbers that are out there for all the players.
That's a breach in security. Or
it's pretty bad.
It's a pretty bad thing to leave open, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised the Falcons didn't do anything more than that.
The kid is 21 years old.
He's 21.
It's not like he's 15. It's a pretty stupid thing.
It'd be pretty stupid if he was 15.
It would be pretty stupid regardless.
Yeah.
Because it's your old man's career, and, you know, I just can't imagine what that must feel like, and it's just awful. But I am also... I don't know.
He apologized for it on Instagram.
Oh, and it was very sincere.
It was very sincere.
Yeah.
He apologized after he was outed.
Yes.
I don't know if he felt like he wasn't going to be identified. He put the video out there. They videotaped the reaction. So did he think this was not going to result in some sort of discipline or repercussion? What are you thinking?
He
wasn't thinking.
Yeah. Did he think it was funny? And I don't see how it is funny. I mean, I
Molly,
get it.
You know the answer to that. Of course he thought it was funny. We live in a society where things like this, humiliation, is an industry. So you have to – this is all part of the deterioration of any sort of class that we expect from people of a certain age. So and they get away with it.
It's
tolerated. It's ridiculous.
This isn't a stunt from Jackass. This is just a Jackass stunt.
Fair enough. I don't disagree. And I think that the Falcons, with Jeff Ulbrich, they could take this further if they chose to. He's a new staff member. He's trying to make an impression. This is a heck of a way to make a first impression.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's not,
it's not good.
And there's nothing good about it. And, you know, I feel bad for Shedeur Sanders. I know he's got a lot of good things in his life going. He doesn't have a lot of stresses that people have in terms of, you know, coming from money, etc. But regardless, that's a public humiliation that he went through with his fall in the draft, and the idea that that, you know, for some reason all of the kind of household draft guys were so far removed, so wrong from the way the league was looking at him. I saw, I didn't understand it, but I saw Screamin' Steven send out a thing saying basically that there was collusion, and it reminded him of the Colin Kaepernick thing, which I don't think there is anything connected to Colin Kaepernick.
Well, the thing that's similar to that, that I could see somebody making a comparison to, is that teams, as you know, resist players who provide more distraction than they feel like they're worth.
Right.
And the distraction element is what I think teams stayed away from as much as anything with Shedeur Sanders. And that is the way that I think it was compared. And I didn't see what Stephen A. Smith tweeted or said about it, but you could see where Colin Kaepernick was, I guess, ignored.
Lightning rod for people.
Yeah, it was too much for people to take on in their locker room. I think that was part of it. That was part of the thought process. We've talked to football guys who have explained that. That seems like a long time ago. But what hasn't changed is that you bring in anybody into your locker room, especially a rookie, you don't want that looming distraction. You don't want things to be about anything but football. And I think that Shedeur Sanders had this persona that scared off a lot of people. And then he had a pre-draft meeting with the Giants that reportedly went very poorly. And word like that travels fast. Bad news travels fast in the NFL.
Brian Daboll apparently sent him some stuff to go over. And then when they got into the meeting, and they met with him again right before the draft, and he hadn't even looked at the material. So Daboll wanted him to write up a play, and he hadn't looked at it. And then he kind of confronted him about, you didn't even bother looking at what we wanted to go over? And then the kid pushed back at Daboll, and apparently they had a bad exchange. And so the team that everyone thought could be in line to take him passed on him.
If he was an edge rusher, if he was a running back, if he were a wide receiver, things like that might be viewed differently. But as a quarterback, as a potential leader of your franchise, the face of your franchise, in the case of the Giants, if they were going to draft him third overall, you can't tolerate certain things, and the standards have to be higher. I think that's what they're looking at. Now, I'm not saying that it justified him dropping to the fifth round, but I can understand why a meeting like that would resonate with a football team, and then word like that would spread throughout the league.
But the team that took him ultimately was Cleveland, who it's just a weird that was weird too. There was rumors that the owner wanted them.
Shades of draft day. It was shades of draft day. The owner, you could imagine Jimmy Haslam getting involved and saying, draft this kid now. I don't care if you drafted a quarterback already. Draft him now.
Did you see the general manager's response?
That's why he makes you think that what I just said was plausible. Well, because the general manager responded like somebody who was forced to do something
he didn't react.
He didn't want to do.
He didn't react like he just signed Luther Burden III.
No, he did not. He was not rocking in his chair like Ben Johnson, and he wasn't cooking with hot grease. No, that was not his response. How about Ben Johnson and his reactions? He was worth the price of admission. Hearing him talk, watching his body language, as Dustin rolls his eyes, he is not for everybody. I think we're going to agree with that.
Tell me something.
Exactly. And we should get the Matt LaFleur audio from over the weekend, because Ben Johnson, one thing we can agree, since he was hired, he has talked a lot.
Yep.
And he has said a lot. And everything that he has talked and said has exuded and oozed confidence.
And you know who doesn't like it? Flower.
Yeah, we got a great division. You can't discredit what the teams have done, and I think Chicago's done a nice job of adding to their roster, and you get a good football coach, as he said himself, in Ben Johnson.
Guy who likes beating you twice a year.
He does.
That's what he said himself.
I know.
Add it to the list of things. This is good. This is good for the rivalry. This is good for the rivalry. And I love the Bears' response, by the way. We didn't get to talk about this. Their response to the Clay Matthews stuff. The Bears' social media responded with the walk-off Santos field goal.
Was that the response on
social
media? That was the
response on the Bears' official
social media. Oh, I thought you were talking about maybe Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins. Should we listen to Seth Rollins again? Dustin, I'm surprised you didn't come in this morning talking about Seth Rollins. We played it on Saturday.
I listened. I heard some of that.
This was magic.
Come on, you can be louder than that. I know y'all mad because championship gold looks good on the blue and orange. But in all seriousness, Green Bay, we are in the shadow of Lambeau Field. And I love Lambeau Field. Because the king of the North, the best quarterback in the NFC North, Caleb Williams, is undefeated at Lambeau Field. Oh. And in case y'all aren't familiar with my game, let me remind you, I am a visionary. I am a revolutionary. I am Seth freaking Rollins. And I am here to tell you that with the 56th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the greatest franchise in the NFL, the Chicago Bears, select Ozzie Trapillo, tackle from Boston College. Let's burn it down and bear down, Chicago.
Impressive.
I love that guy.
I love it too.
I thought that was great.
He played right. He played right into the rivalry. It was great.
And he used the only thing the Bears can use in that rivalry as of now.
Yeah.
As of
Caleb Williams,
Saturday,
King of the North, 1-0.
Yes, he's undefeated in Lambeau, and that's what they need to build on. They have a lot of bravado for that rivalry now. They have more than you would think.
It's so much fun.
It is.
I don't really know him, but now he's like my favorite wrestler ever. I want to go to Green Bay with him and just drive through
Let's get him on the show.
Like, you know, let's go order some McDonald's. I'll have a Big Mac.
Then I'll drive separately then.
Let's just let him order at every fast food joint in Green Bay. God knows there's enough of them. That's all
good
those people
for,
eat.
Like, the moment, in that moment, in context, I don't want that tone.
I want him
the entire
yelling.
3 hours driving to Green Bay.
I'll have a cup of coffee.
Well, you know, Ozzie Trapillo will always remember the way that his draft pick was announced.
I'm serious. That was super cool.
That was very cool.
And now he has a lot to live up to.
That's right. He's got to play up to that intro. That was funny. It was just funny.
Yeah,
and
it was funny.
You know, I mean, I'd love to see him go after that linebacker, straighten him out, wrestle him. Go ahead and tie him up in a knot.
Getting a lot of pushback on the text line from people who responded. Although they did love Seth Rollins.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a lot to react to over the weekend. There's a lot of things that the Bears did that were positive, and there are some things that were worthy of scrutiny. It's a draft, so you never can really fully evaluate it until maybe several years later. And this one looks like this is consistent with a team that feels like it can win now. These were moves that were, I think, yes, for the future, but you've got an offensive-minded head coach, and your first two picks were to make this offense more dynamic. They weren't need picks. We can talk all offseason up until the training camp begins, but Colson Loveland and Luther Burden Jr. III were not need picks by the Bears.
No, they were matchup picks. They are guys.
They were chess pieces.
Yes, they will give the chess master, if you will, Ben Johnson. They will give him more options as he tries to make all the right moves.
And the next five players that were selected from Ozzie Trapillo on down through Kyle Manungay.
Yep.
Manungay. Yes, Manungay.
Yep.
Kyle Manungay, who is a running back that a lot of people are giving
from
a chance to make this
from
team.
The Rutgers.
He's running back for the Rutgers.
Those are depth pieces. Those are people and players that will.
Well, Manunga might be a guy they need.
Well, maybe.
I'm just saying, he might not just be a depth piece. He might be a guy that they're going to rely on for all we know.
Biggsy thinks so.
Yeah,
Biggsy. That may be if we're categorizing with the biggest surprises of this show, it's nothing other than what Brad Biggs said about putting faith in a seventh round draft pick.
No. What Biggs told us is that he talked to a guy specifically about playmaker guys who would fit what the Bears want to do. And this was one of the names he was given before the draft. So when they drafted him, I think he had a different feeling about it than maybe we did, where we were kind of like, huh? He was like, aha.
Yeah. I think he was like that. Monungai can play. And Greg Schiano toughened him up, gave him the ball a lot. He carried 669 times in college. I had text exchanges with Joshua Perry and Jake Butt over the weekend from the Chicago Sports Network, who watched a lot of Rutgers football. Jake called a couple games, and they're very familiar with this running back. And they gave me the same type of scouting report that we heard from Dave Wannstedt, that Bigsy heard from his national scout. This is somebody of high character and very good toughness, somebody who could definitely maybe envision making it more of an impact than you would expect from a seventh round pick.
It's interesting because, you know, you always look at the number of carries a back had in college as a methodology of figuring how long his career will go in the NFL, with the idea that you only have a certain number of hits you can take. He's taken tons of hits, and it's like from really good programs, the Big Ten. That's a physical football league. And what are you doing jazz hands for? Dustin started waving jazz hands at me.
No, sorry, it was a big stretch.
Oh.
Well, 669 carries.
Pain. I had to shake it off.
669 carries is a lot for any running back into the league with. So that also tells you he's tough, because teams and defenses were designed to stop him, and he still gained 3,222 yards.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's right. You know, what you say, you're talking about 10-man boxes. You're talking about – all right. Well, we're gonna get to the phone lines. We're not getting the phone lines. We got a guest line. We're going to talk to the tight ends coach from Michigan. We're going to talk to a man who was in his own private Idaho, who was with the tight end himself when he was selected in Idaho. And we will do that next. Sam Casilla will join us next here on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
It's not a joke, like Idaho tough. You know, I asked him about his hand strength because not only can you see when he catches the ball, but when he blocks. And he was like, have you ever put up wire fence in Idaho before? I said, no.
Have you ever played with some barbed wire? It's tough. It'll rip you up for sure.
Happy for my guy, Colston Loveland, one of the greats, maybe the great, in my opinion. When I watch the tape, I'd say the greatest Michigan tight end.
Wow.
Ever.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. You heard Ryan Poles first, and you heard Jake Butt, a former great Michigan tight end himself. Really fun to hear those wonderful words about Colston Loveland. And we are delighted to welcome in Steve Kasula. He is the tight end coach at Michigan, was in Idaho with his charge when he was drafted, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Steve, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. Really excited to be with you.
Well, we appreciate it, and you got to tell us what that was like, because we obviously watched on television. They made a joke the minute they showed everybody in what looked like kind of a hunting lodge, and they said, "Well, I wonder what their hobby is." Like two giant elks up on the wall.
A lot of taxidermy.
Yeah. What was it like for you to go there, to be there for that great moment for the kid?
It was pretty amazing. Myself and our offensive line coach Grant Newsom were out there for it, and I think what it really said to us was it was a celebration of how much Colston means to his family and like the town. And it felt like everybody that lives there was there, and vice versa, how much Colston's family and the town and his roots mean to him. So it was really cool.
What makes him ready for this challenge, and what made him the kind of player, the kind of athlete the Bears would target at number 10?
Well, off the field, I would say his maturity. He is like an old soul. Someone who is mature and wise beyond his years. You know, a year ago or so, when I returned to Michigan, and he and I were just kind of sitting having a casual conversation, and it just somehow naturally came up that, you know, at the time, he was only 19. He was about to turn 20. And I stopped him, and I said, excuse me? And he's like, yeah, I turned 20 April 9th. You know, fast forward a year, he's now recently just turned 21. Super mature, high-end, like, social and emotional intelligence, football smart, and then on the field, I mean, he just does a handful of things that are really difficult to coach. But his greatest skill set, I believe, that makes him ready to, like, day one make an impact is as a route runner and a receiver. He's the best route runner I've ever coached. He's got the biggest catch radius of anyone I've ever coached. And, he's got all the tangible skills you would want out of, like, I think the direction that the position has gone in the NFL in the last five or so years. And he plays, you know, with a great motor, has great play speed. But when it comes time to get open, he has that natural innate ability to go get open.
You know, we talk a lot about the greatest ability being availability. And here's a guy, a young guy, that played through an injury. Like when you watch the tape of him performing for you guys last year, he's wincing at times because his shoulder is so banged up. You guys used him outside quite a bit. You didn't really use him as much in line because he has this injury that he played through. I thought it was extraordinary the season that he had and really just the amount of contribution he was able to make despite playing with an injury.
Yeah, he handled that all with such maturity and like the team in mind, and people, you know, unless you're here really like in the weeds with him, it'd be hard to explain or understand like what he had to do to make himself available each Saturday in terms of working with our training staff and rehab and all that kind of stuff. But he pushed through practice. He pushed through the games. He always wanted to do more. Like I remember his first game back. And he only played like 16 or 17 plays, but that was a me decision, a coaching staff decision. You know, he wanted to play every play. And that, I think that just kind of speaks to who he is and what he's about, and whether he caught the ball 10 times or one time, attitude never really changed. He just wanted to do whatever he could to help the team win, and that's who he is. It speaks to how he was raised by his mom and dad, and just really good dude in that respect.
Coach, I think there's an expectation that he will find ways to get open and be an asset in the passing game. From your perspective, though, as the guy who coached him in college at Michigan, what does he need to do to become a more consistent inline blocker at the NFL level?
So I believe he really is a consistent inline blocker. I think because of the way he's built, people don't realize like how big he is. Like he's six, he's almost 6 foot six. He's 250 pounds. If you really like deep dive his career, when he first started playing in 2022, it was to play in the run game. Sure, he had some catches and stuff early in the season, like in some mop-up duty, but he didn't really start contributing a ton as a receiver until like week 11 or 12 of that season. So he has a body of work. Like I think if you watch the 2023 Penn State game, even throughout 2024, we believe he is a super functional inline blocker. It's not that we ever viewed him as someone that couldn't inline block. It was just we knew he was our premier target as a route runner and receiver. And we have other guys in the room that could contribute in the run game as well. So it really, his lack of playing in line this past season speaks more to his ability as a stand-up player and like less to him having any deficiency. But like I think I would imagine any, you know, I've never coached in the NFL, but I would imagine the adjustment for any player at tight end going and playing in the run game in the NFL is everybody you're playing against is probably the best you've ever played against. But if you look at what he did in 2023, blocking really good players at Ohio State, Penn State, this past season playing in the run game against Texas and stuff like that, I don't believe that he'll struggle in the run game in the NFL, and I believe he can play all three downs for sure.
We're talking to Steve Kasula. He is the tight end coach at Michigan, and he's the man that that coached Colston Loveland, the number 10 overall pick for the Chicago Bears, in the NFL draft. And I'm curious, Coach, you were out there, you were at his house. First of all, how do you get to Gooding, Idaho? How far away is it from everywhere? And what is it like out there? Have you spent a lot of time? And I'm sure you've recruited everywhere, but that's crazy.
Sure. Yeah, I've recruited Idaho here and there, but really have never left like the greater Boise area. So it was an hour and 28 minutes, I believe, from the Boise airport. But once you get about 20, 30 minutes outside of Boise, it's pretty remote. So it wasn't like crazy hard to get to, but it's definitely a small place. And you could tell that like this moment and this point in time and Colston as a person really means a lot. They're really proud of him there. But yeah, it was probably unlike any place I had ever been. I'd be comfortable in saying that.
So you can take the kid out of the small town, but sometimes you can't take the small town out of the kid. How do you think he will handle the scrutiny that comes with playing in a market like Chicago, where everyone is passionate about everything that you do as a Bears player?
Well, I think that he's been done a benefit by having played at Michigan. You know, this is not probably to the scale of what you're referring to, but, you know, similarly speaking, you know, when you play at Michigan and particularly play as early as he did, you're always under the eye, right? But I think he'll excel at it. Like, I got to be honest, like, there's really nothing that has ever come up in his football life or his personal life since I've been around him or known him very well that he hasn't handled with grace. He's super competitive and is going to want to be successful. But that's probably like every other guy on the team, too. I think he'll handle being in Chicago and playing under that microscope at an extremely high level. He's a guy that can walk into any room and connect with people, and will connect with people in the locker room, will connect with the coaching staff. And I think, like, I was really proud of him. Again, I'm biased, man. That's my guy. But, you know, I watched his, you know, first press conference or media availability, and, like, how he came off, that's just who he is. That's just how he is. And I think the fans will fall in love with him.
That's great stuff. It's fun. You know, we know that Michigan is a big-time program. We know that he did unbelievable when he was with J.J. McCarthy. But he went through, you know, you guys went through quite a few quarterbacks last year, and that had to be difficult for a young guy like that. And all we saw was him able to perform and able to still produce despite the use of different signal callers.
Yeah, I think that really speaks to his football IQ, his capacity to get open versus man coverage, zone coverage, his catch radius. It really didn't matter when the ball was thrown to him, how it was thrown to him. You know, at one point during the season, I'm not sure what the final number was, but I remember we were completing like nearly 70% of passes we attempted to him. He really had an exceptional season, one that, you know, he would tell you that wasn't good enough because we went 8-5, but as his coach, I would tell you that he played exceptional a year ago, and he's getting what he deserves for sure.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. Your pride's coming through, and really we look forward to seeing what you're describing in Colston Loveland.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. That is Steve Kasula, the tight ends coach at Michigan. That's great stuff, huh?
Yeah. It's when you have a player like that who does everything right, you take a lot of pride when he has the kind of success and has the kind of future it looks like Colston Loveland has. Low maintenance, high production, it's the best kind of player.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Makes you fired up. We can't wait to see what the kid can do. All right, we have transition next. Transitions on 670 The Score, brought to you by Webb Hyundai. In Highland or Merrillville, Indiana, get a vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is going to be a very special
moment. I think so. I think we've been hearing all morning. We have a very big announcement.
We have a Score announcement that's coming, and you're going to really appreciate this announcement, and it's just going to be a miraculous moment in all our lives, and it's coming next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh,